This is an interview with Phyllis Carnahan for the Leelanau Voices Oral History Project at the Leelanau Historical Museum on the 26th of October 1991. The interviewer is Laura Quackenbush. Phyllis, could you give us your full name first of all?
My name is Phyllis Ann Spanik Carnahan.
And the date of your birth?
Born March 18th, 1921.
And the place?
In Cedar, Michigan, in the house in which I now live.
Do you have any sisters or brothers?
I had one sister, Elizabeth Jean Spanik.
And when was she born?
She was born in 1922, and she died in 1989.
What were your parents' names?
My father was Joseph Spanik. My mother was Cecile Lafayette Spanik.
And where were they from?
My father was born in Cleveland Township, Leelanau County. My mother was born in Peninsula Township, Grand Traverse County.
And who were your mother's parents?
My mother's parents were Arthur Lafayette, and her mother was Mary Agnes Kelly Lafayette.
And your father's parents?
My father's father was Joseph Spanik, and my grandmother was Elizabeth Nimchinsky.
Where did you live as you were growing up the first years?
I lived all my life in Cedar, Michigan, in the house that I'm living in now.
What's the address of that house?
3028 Sullivan Street.
Did just the family live in the house?
Yes, it's a house that my grandfather and grandmother lived in first, and then my mother and father, when they were married, lived with them for a while. Then my father bought my grandparents a house, two houses down, and then my parents lived in this house.
Who were your first playmates when you were growing up?
Well, my first playmates, Cedar, of course, was entirely different than it is now. I mean, it was, you knew absolutely everybody in town. And my closest playmate probably was my cousin, first cousin, Alice Spanik. Yeah, but it was just the kids you went to school with. My sister, because she was only a little more than a year old, younger than I, but somehow she had different friends, and she was in a different age group. It was very strictly adhered to. I mean, you stayed with your own age group. But it was people like Ruth Marion White, whose father was Bob White, who was sheriff of Leelanau County for a long time. The Grinston girls, Ruth and Marjorie particularly, and Agnes Schiedig, and as I said, Alice Spanik, and the boys, my cousin Jimmy and Lawrence Spanik, and everybody in town, we played with them.
What did you do for fun when you were a child, a young child?
Well, we all, even young children, had work to do. I mean, we had to do the dishes and dusting and all that sort of thing. But we played games at night after dinner, and after the dishes were finished, we'd go outside and play Run My Sheep Run and cover the whole town. I mean, it was just so exciting. And we never had we didn't have a ball diamond or anything, but we used to play baseball. I mean, even the girls. I mean, it wasn't really a nine player team. I mean, we just would bat. There'd be a pitcher and a catcher and a batter, and maybe somebody at first base. And later on, we got roller skates, and we roller skate. No one in my town when I was growing up ever had a bicycle, so bicycles were unknown. And in the wintertime, of course, it was sliding, skiing, and skating. But we were big on things like making mud pies and playing with your dolls. And there was no radio, no television, no library, no theater. I mean, you played games and you had to do things like that.
What did you do in the evening in the winter?
Well, we used to go outside and slide. We used to take a bobsled from the top of the hill coming into Cedar and slide all the way down the Maple City Road. I mean, there was no traffic to speak of.
In the winter, in the evening?
Yeah. And that was the main thing. It was bobsledding in the wintertime, or sliding. I mean, we used to go out and did an awful lot of sliding. And of course, we played games like in the house, checkers and Chinese checkers, and played cards and that sort of thing. Yeah, but we always had homework to do, so you had to do your homework and then go to bed.
Did your house, as a child, was there electricity in your house?
Yes, but no bathroom or running water.
Did you have a pump in the kitchen?
No, we had a pump in the shed. And then we had a a place in the kitchen where there was a pail of water where everybody, in a dipper, and everybody drank out of the pail, and you had a wash basin where you washed your hands and that sort of thing. And an outside privy, which nobody seemed to mind too much.
What did you do for a bath?
Well, every Saturday night, my mother would get the wash tub out and put it in front of the wood stove in the kitchen and open up the oven door so it would make it warmer. And we both, just the two of us, two girls, we both used the same bath water. I mean, that sounds awful, but the... And, I mean, you only could do it once a week, and even parents could only take a bath once a week because, I mean, it was just too much trouble. I mean, you had to fill this... You'd fill up, but you had to, and a big person had to stand in this wash tub and bathe himself. But everybody was clean. I mean, you washed every day. I just about died when my mother was giving me a bath one Saturday night, and the man next door came over, and he came in through the back door, and he didn't even knock, and he opened up the door, and there I was, naked. I was very, very bashful and shy, and I just about died.
So when did the house have interior plumbing?
When I was about 15.
What age did you start school?
I started school when I was 4 years old.
And what school?
It was called Cedar Standard School. Still in Cedar. It was really I was thinking about that last night. It wasn't a little red wooden schoolhouse. It's a nice brick building, and as I recall, I mean, I believe we had running water, which was quite unusual. I mean, we had an inside bathroom downstairs, one for the boys and one for the girls. But it was a two-room schoolhouse, and on the one side, it was there was no kindergarten. It was primary, second, third, fourth, and fifth on one side, and then on the other side, it was sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth, and tenth. That's as far as it went. And some of the teachers we had, absolutely marvelous teachers. Martha Andreessen from Glen Arbor, Rosalia Swoboda from Cedar, Agnes Good, Eitzen, and then on the other side, what the big grades were, Benhart Rowan from Empire, one of the Rowan brothers, Arnold Ogilla, who still is alive, and lives out at Lake Leelanau. But it was wonderful, and especially when you started school. I was four when I started, and I was left-handed. This sounds awful, but anyway, and the teachers were so great, and that was what they believed. But as soon as I would start to write, she would crack my hand with the ruler, so I could really write with my right hand or my left hand. But anyway, but they had all this art that we did, we painted pictures and we painted vases and we did all that stuff, which was really quite wonderful. And we had plays at Christmas time, and even something sort of English. I think we had I can remember one, I've got pictures of it, a great May Day celebration with the maypole, with the what do you call it, crepe paper and the big streamers, and we had a queen, and we had a prince and princess, Helen Murphy. Oh, that's another, those are some other playmates of Dr. Murphy's kids, Marcella, Helen, and James Murphy. And I remember Helen Murphy was the princess, and my cousin Jimmy Sponic was the prince. But, I mean, that sounds terribly old-fashioned, but it was a big deal.
You only did this 1 year, or did you?
I can remember doing it only 1 year, yeah.
If I remember correctly, you told me, did you tell me once that you went to Holy Rosary briefly?
Never went to Holy Rosary. My sister, somebody said my sister went there for a week or something, but I don't even recall that.
Well, that's her, okay, that's mm-hmm. what I'm remembering. Mm-hmm. She cried and they
I
said,
think so.
Okay. What did you like best about that school?
Everything. I was a super student, if I do say so myself. And but you got such a wonderful education because you're in this room and you do your class and you sit there and you do everybody else's. And you sit there and you learn the first grade, second grade, and the whole thing. I mean, and I was a good student, and I read a lot. And we had this little tiny library about the size of a coat closet. And I read every single book that was in there. And then, in desperation, because I would get my homework done and everything, I read, we had the World Book Encyclopedia and another one, I can't remember the name, and I read every single encyclopedia from A through Z, the whole thing. But you did get a wonderful education, and I think that that was one of, the school was one of the reasons why the town was interesting and nice. I mean, I think there's so much is lost in these towns with consolidation because everybody was interested in the school. I mean, they were interested in the school plays, and now, I mean, there's such a vacuum with no school in a town like that.
How many kids, how big was the school? How many students?
Well, not too big. I got some pictures of some of our classes. I would say the whole school probably maximum was 40 students, I would say, probably.
And you may have said this before, what was an inclusive grade?
From primary, which would be first grade through the 10th grade.
So was there a graduation in between, just at the end of the 10th grade?
No, there was no graduation, but there used to be a rule in Leelanau County when you were in the 7th grade, you had to take an examination in order to pass into the 8th grade. And you had to go over to Empire, I think, where the superintendent of schools, Mr. Dumbrell, presided. And I was a good student, and I can't remember which teacher I had at the time, but I was in the 6th grade, and she was going to take all the 7th graders over there for their examination. And she said, why don't you go along and take the examination, too? So I did, and I passed it, so I never had the 7th grade. I just went from the 6th grade to the 8th grade. And so I graduated from high school. I was 15 in March of 1936, and I graduated from Traverse City, and I was 15 in June, so too young, really.
So graduating 10th, was there more classes than you were
in high school? No. That was all they taught in Cedar, and so after you got out of the 10th grade, you had to go to Traverse City to school, or someplace else where there was a high school. You would go to Immaculate Conception or St. Francis if you wanted to. I don't know. Nobody ever went to the high schools on this side of the county. You went to Traverse City if you had to go to high school.
Did you work while you were a student?
You mean when I was little? Sure I did. I started to work when I was about 10 years old, I think. I used to work in the bank in Cedar when I was about 11 years old. I used to do the cash I guess it must have been in the summertime. I mean, I had to add up the cash and everything. And when Mr. Sheedick, who was the station agent down at the depot, when he needed somebody to help with the invoices and everything, I'd go down there. And then I worked in Leland at the, it was then called the Nicholas Hotel, Hotel Nicholas. I think I started there when I was about 12 or 13, worked there every summer as a waitress for $5 a week.
Even as a child at 12, you were a waitress?
They had no child labor laws, evidently. I mean, I may have been 13, but I mean, I was not very old because, yeah.
While you were a teenager, what kind of activities did you do as teens?
Well, it was so innocent and different. I mean, oh, one thing that we did, which there was a dance hall in Cedar. Let me backtrack a little bit. My father was a merchant in Cedar and had this beautiful big store and building across the street from our house. He had a general store, and then the front end of it was a bank, and he sold everything. He sold guns and stoves and groceries and dry goods and caskets. And upstairs was a dance hall, which was reputed to be the best dance hall in three counties, that's what they say. And he would get big orchestras to come in and play and everything. But when I was in 1924, it burned down, and that was the end of that. So, but anyway, there was a tavern uptown, and there was a dance hall up above that. And as I say, the community life was entirely different. I mean, there were fish and game suppers up there, and there were dances in. And your folks went, and they took you. And I mean, even if you were little kids, and your dad always danced with you, and you danced with the farmer kids that came in from the country and everything, and your mother and dad sat on the side and talked, and you danced and danced and danced. And that was the big thing. I mean, we went to dances when we were teenagers, but we didn't go alone. Our folks were, either one or both of them were always chaperones. Not necessarily every child or teenager didn't have their parents there, but there were parents there who took you and took you home.
So when did you start to date, per se?
Well, it was when I was at working here at the Nicholas Hotel, and so I wasn't very old, about 14, I guess. About 14. Mm-hmm.
So what would a typical date have been?
Well, go to a Watka Beach dance. I used to work at the hotel, and we'd work until about 9, 10 o'clock, and, you know, clearing up the tables and doing all the things that we had to do. And then somebody would have a car. So they weren't really proper dates, but we'd go from Leland to Traverse City to a Watka Beach, which is a dance hall on the beach, a pavilion, where they opened up the sides. It was just wonderful, and they had these big orchestras and everything. And we'd dance until they closed the place about 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. We'd get back to Leland about 5 o'clock and put our uniforms on and start and go and work for breakfast, you know.
So you were boarding at the hotel too?
Oh, we had all the help had cottages, and we always had a chaperone. I mean, like the girls had a cottage and the boys had a cottage. Yeah, you got your room and board.
How many young workers did they have then?
Well, probably about 15, I would imagine. Mm-hmm.
Did your family attend church?
Oh, yes. My parents, my father was a very devout Catholic. My mother was a convert. And almost everybody in Cedar were Catholics, and they went to Holy Rosary Church in Isidore. There was a church in Cedar, however, a Protestant church, I think it was Congregational, across the street from us, and must have been built during the lumber period, and it must have not had a big congregation, because it was a nice church, I mean, but it was empty for so long, and they used to have Christmas plays over there, and then it was just sort of abandoned and eventually torn down.
What was Cedar like? What were the businesses that were in Cedar when you were growing up?
Well, when I was little, there was still a lumber mill down by across the river.
Who owned the lumber mill?
I have no idea. Of course, when my grandparents first moved to Cedar from the country, Jerry Sullivan was the local lumber baron, and in fact the house that I live in is part of the Whitman Sullivan addition to Cedar, the village of Cedar. And I think all these houses were built for workers in the lumber mills. And But anyway, in my father's store, of course, was the, and the bank was the big place until it burned down, but then the bank part was rebuilt, and then, so the bank was a thriving bank for a long time, and there, and when I was very little, there was a hotel, I don't know if that burned down, but anyway, that disappeared, and Joe Black had a meat market, which was very famous around here, and there were several stores. There was Stefanik and Culver uptown, and then there was the George Mason, who was the rich man in town, had a had a drugstore uptown, and we had a doctor, Dr. Fred Murphy, and a garage. Mike Rosinski had a garage, and there were pickle warehouses, and then there were potato warehouses down by the railroad track, and of course the railroad was important, and there was a depot, and the train came in, and so that was quite important. And when the railroad stopped, I mean, Cedar sort of died, I think.
So the railroad went on up to Provemont and then also mm-hmm. into Traverse?
Yes, and we used to go into Traverse City on the train, which is a great thrill. I think it cost 21 cents. Mm-hmm. And it just, it, you know, we didn't do it too often because I grew up during the Depression, but I think it was only 21 cents to ride from Cedar into Traverse City.
What was your mode of transportation when you were young?
By car. My dad was a merchant, and he had the first cars that they had in Cedar, and the first car that I can remember was an Oakland touring car, which was a very beautiful car, a big car with side curtains and everything, you know, and leather seats that were boiling hot in the summer and ice cold in the wintertime.
You bought, what other community events did you have besides the dances?
Well, the people and the ladies in town played cards. I mean, that was very big. I mean, they played bridge and 500 and that sort of thing. And on Sunday, as I recall, my father and most of the men used to go up to this pool hall where the tavern was, and they used to play cards there, and or else cribbage and that sort of thing. And of course, the Christmas play was a big thing, and then Frank Shramsky was the owner of the tavern, and he was quite a good singer and completely uninhibited. He just loved to sing. I can still remember him singing "The World is Waiting for the Sunrise" and all that, you know. And they'd have these game suppers up there, and of course, Shum, as they called them, would get up and sing. And we did things like we'd go out and visit somebody in the country, and we'd go on somebody's sleigh with horses, you know, and take her in the wintertime. And my dad used to take us ice fishing. Was another form of entertainment. My mother and dad would go smelt fishing when the smelt run was on. But my father never took a vacation, ever. And he worked 6 days a week, and on Saturdays he would work until 2 o'clock in the morning, probably. But everybody was very friendly. It's much different than it is now. My father insisted on home-baked bread. My mother would bake about 12 loaves of bread, and we couldn't possibly eat them, so she'd run around the neighborhood and give everyone bread. And my mother had been a nurse, and we had Dr. Murphy, but of course he was not always there, and so any medical emergencies that happened in Cedar, my mother would always take care of them.
Where was the nearest hospital then?
Traverse City.
So, you mentioned your father was very busy on Saturday. Did everyone come to town on Saturday?
Oh yes, a whole farmers came to town on Saturday. And that was another thing that we used to do in the wintertime. They came in with their sleighs, and the farmers didn't like it, but they had these runners that stuck out in the back. So as soon as we saw somebody coming into town, we'd all run out and jump on a runner and ride around town, and the man would be yelling at you to get off and everything, but it was a lot of fun.
So were most of the dances then on Saturday night, and the
oh,
farmers
yes.
would just stay?
Or? Oh, no, I don't know about it. The farmers didn't stay there. Kids would come into town. The farmers didn't go to the dances that I remember. But there were a lot of, oh, they used to have things like box socials, where you have these boxes of food and they wrap them off. They'd have them at school, but that's what I mean. The school was such an important part of the community, and these social events would take place at school, usually, because as I recall, we didn't have a town hall or anything like that.
Do you remember any kind of town government?
You must be joking. No, absolutely none. However, my grandfather, I was a township supervisor, but that was, of course, way before I was born.
So neighbors helped each other?
Yes, they did very much. It was very congenial and a happy place to grow up. I mean, everybody helped everybody else, and as I say, knew everybody else. Everybody, you knew everybody, and like I remember my mother, there was a man who lived near the school. He was an Indian. No, he was a white man, and he had married an Indian woman, which was looked down upon at that time. And this woman had died, Indian woman had died of tuberculosis, which Indians were prone to. And he was left with these two little children, and they were, he tried, but he didn't do a very good job, and they were not very clean. They didn't have good clothes or anything. And I remember that my mother brought, somebody else took the boy, and my mother brought the little girl down to our house. And I remember in the kitchen when she got the wash tub out, and she gave her a bath, and she washed her hair, which was so beautiful when it was clean, and dressed her from the bottom up, with underwear and socks and shoes and of ours that were left over. And I remember Betty and I had these beautiful rose-colored dresses that my mother had made with, I think you call it, what was cross-stitch or smocking that was on the front. And she put one of these on Virginia, and I think it was the night of the Christmas play at school. And these two kids, they were never more beautiful. But they sort of slipped back again after that. But that was the sort of thing that people did. Another thing that my sister did, there was no prejudice in our house. Absolutely none. And my mother had said she had heard that a Negro, as they were called then, family had moved out into the country. Well, that was very rare. There were no black people in Little Long County. And she said she heard that they were very poor. And so she said that she was preparing some clothes and things for them. And my sister was a very vivacious, outgoing, friendly child, and she was uptown. And she saw this black man. She'd never seen one in her life before. And I remember, to me, he seemed like he was a giant. He probably wasn't, but it's just because we were little. And I remember I was in the kitchen, and there was a knock on the shed door, and my mother went to the door, and here was this, to me, gigantic black man, and holding his hand. And she was just tiny, and he said that this little girl had said that we had some clothes for him, and so my mother gave them to him. And I don't think they lasted very long, but anyway, that was the way my mother was, and as I say, with no prejudice at all. Another thing, when my father had the store, a lot of his customers were Indians, because there were a lot of Indians that lived around Cedar at that time. And I don't know what tribe they were or anything, but my dad, he could speak Polish and German and Bohemian and understood Russian, but he also could speak Indian, whatever the dialect was. And my mother and dad used to go down the river and with this one young man, and they would go fishing or something and take him with them. And so, as I say, I that's one thing that I consider a great legacy was this complete lack of prejudice or bias, which was in my household.
Do you think there was, so you're saying there's no racial bias, how about, were there many non-Catholics living in Cedar?
Well, that was another thing, that in our house anyway, I mean, there was absolutely no religious bias either. I mean, I found more religious bias when I went to Traverse City. The Protestants didn't like the Catholics, and they didn't like the people in Cedar because they were Polish and dumb and all that sort of thing. I mean, that was the tag that you got, and I wasn't even, my mother wasn't even Polish. I mean, not that there's anything wrong with being it, but I mean, everybody in Cedar was considered a dumb Polack.
Hmm. So you were saying there were a lot of Indian families that just, they did not live in one place?
I don't remember that. That was before, I mean, I don't remember Indians, but it was when my dad had this store. And I was so little, I wouldn't remember that, I don't think.
So how long did you remain in Cedar then?
Well, until I got married, and then I moved to Traverse City, and I was 19, and that was, then I came back in 1989.
So what do you think has been the biggest change?
Well, I think it's the character of the town. I mean, it's entirely different. I mean, I came back to spend my last days